Regular listeners of the Hot Sox podcast know that we are a very high production podcast. Of course, you can tell just from listening to it. I actually am using a really adorable podcasting microphone, but one of the elements of being a really high quality podcast is that you have a really amazing large studio. My studio is so large that it expands into different counties. It expands into different cities. It expands into different rooms in people's homes. That's how big it is. And today I am very delighted and excited to be back with my dear friend and, you know, sexual, I want to say connoisseur. I want to say educator and experiencer of all things sex. Fifi Jingles. Yay!
Yay!
Hi, Fifi.
Hi, Jamie.
Thanks for coming back. It's been a long time.
It has been a long time, and I love that we're broadcasting from my bedroom.
Yes. Yes. The studio, like I said, is so large and high, state of the art, that it takes me anywhere, and today it's taking me to Fifi Jingles' bedroom, which I guess this is a good question to start. Well, Fifi, for those who don't know you, a little background. We met years ago. Working in the adult entertainment industry. You were in marketing and PR for a large company.
Yes.
And your path has since switched. I think in some ways it's completely, but I also think like the whole sex can be a spiritual health thing.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. I agree.
And so your path still is on spiritual health. It's just of a more, it's a more personal journey because you weren't starring in videos. You can't look up Fifi Jingles and find, Guide to Whoreville Part 7 or whatever.
No,
The question I guess I'll start with, because we're in your bedroom, and maybe that was like a really brief description that people are like, I still have no idea who Fifi Jingles is. Fifi Jingles is not her birth name. I don't like to say real name because lots of people change their name and think of that as their real name. But what's been going on in your bedroom, Fifi, since last time actually last time we recorded, you were in a different house, a different apartment.
Oh, really? Oh, we weren't even here?
No, I don't think.
Wow. Oh, no, I think we were here.
Oh, really? Wait, was the couch different?
My theme song? Maybe the couch is a little
bit. Was the couch on the other side of the wall?
No. I think we've been here once since then.
I've been here before, but I didn't know if I recorded here before.
Yeah, I think we recorded here before.
Okay.
Once before.
Interesting.
I could be wrong.
Anyway.
So here we are.
These are the little details.
Yeah.
So I mean, my hand is on your bed right now. What else has been on your bed in the last whatever it's been?
Oh, you know, random men, but not so random anymore. Like, as those of you who know me know, there was a series of experimentational years. Well, I wouldn't say experimentation, but openness, we'll call it. And but in the last several months, I've, you know, sort of honed down and have decided to go for the relationship this time.
So part of this show today will be on being single and dating in Los Angeles.
Right.
One of my favorite topics, as it is
it's
very personal, you know, it's where I'm at right now. And when you talk about what you are in and what you love, you do better. We'll also talk a little bit about masturbation if you're wondering where we're going today. But what changed for you, Fifi, that made you go from being in that period of openness and exploration? I mean, obviously life changes, so it makes sense that it did. But what changed for you that made you want to get into a relationship?
You know what? I think for me, a lot of it had to do with really not wanting to commit to who I was for a long time and just wanting to explore a lot of different options. I had gotten out of a very long relationship several years ago and just decided that I didn't want to be in a relationship. I just sort of wanted to live my life as it took me, which was kind of great in a way because I went through a major career change without my, under duress. I was let go of a job and in the middle of the recession and, you know, had to find a new path. And I think that's what ultimately changed is I looked at what was going on, what wasn't working anymore. And I had to make radical changes in my life career-wise and financially and all that stuff. And, you know, filling my sexual need was really important to me to keep me going. It's always been a big part of who I am. And, but I didn't want to commit to, I was working on me and I didn't feel it was fair, nor was I driven to really be able to support anyone else. Does that make sense?
Yeah. It's very important to work on yourself first. And it's interesting. I was on a panel this last weekend for this show called Love and Sex, Etc.
Yeah.
That was here in Los Angeles. And one of the questions on the panel, you know, people could ask us anything. And this guy said, I'm really in love with this woman. And she's coming from a really bad place of abandonment. And what can I do to show her that I love her? And the answers, you know, were really well said by all the experts up there. And they basically were, you can't do anything for her. What can you do for you?
Yeah.
You can create a space that she can come into, that you can hold. But you have to wonder, you have to figure out how you're going to take care of yourself. And I think this is a big thing when we're single. When I'm single a lot, I'm looking outward for somebody else who's going to complete me, because I do think there's a lot of benefit being partnered. But sometimes I forget to look at myself and see, what do I need to feel complete, so that when I go out there, and supporting oneself can often be a huge obstacle. And it's, you know, and I was talking to another sex educator yesterday who said she could not be doing what she was doing had she not had the support of her partner. He's the financial backing, so she can go and be. And I thought, you know, that's something that would be nice, and it would be evil to explore with.
It would be fantastic, but not the reality.
But yeah, and you have to really know yourself.
Yeah. Well, and I also think too, you know, it's like, it's the oxygen mask in the airplane. You know, you have to put it on yourself first so that you can help other people. I liken that to everything. When I teach, when I work with students, it's like, you have to love yourself. You know, you have to take care of you so that you have the strength and the foundation to reach out to other people. And what I realized was that, as much fun as I was having with the sex, and I really had some amazing partners who just were a lot of fun and everything, they also helped me come to the conclusion that I was ready for more. Sex was starting to change for me because I was starting to change about how I felt about myself. And where I was feeling very disconnected from myself, it felt very simple to disconnect sexually, or just take sex away from emotion. Let's put it that way. And while I had genuine feelings of friendship and what have you, for my partners, you know, it was very easy for me to take a very, you know, typical man-like, for lack of a better word, stance towards sex and disconnect and be like, great, don't let the door hit you on the ass, that kind of thing. But I was realizing that the more I was able to feel love, and the more that I was feeling more connected to who I was sexually myself, the more I wanted to have that sexual, romantic, emotional, sexual connection again. And I felt ready for that intensity, that I wasn't so fragile that it would be unbearable.
Do you think now that you feel ready for it, looking back, when you thought you felt ready for it, you realize, how did I ever, is there, do you see a big difference
in how I felt about sex before and now?
Or like, I feel like when we talked before, we were still, even though you were aware that you were having more relationships that were revolved around the sex, you wanted more, but it wasn't what you were putting out.
But it wasn't what I was putting out at all. I mean, I wasn't asking it of anybody I was with. I wasn't asking it of myself, and I was, so I really wasn't putting out there. And I think it was the beginnings of really wanting more. And then I think it's also not just wanting more, but feeling that you're worth more, and feeling that you want it as a bonus to your life now. At that time, I think I wanted more because I was really feeling like I needed someone to help me out of the mire, you know what I mean? And I don't think that's a great place to go into a relationship. I think you should need someone because you love them, not love them because you need them.
Ooh, you're full of the good.
I'm full of them today. But I think that's a huge difference. And I think that's a really important distinction when you're in a relationship with someone too, is finding that balance, you know? And I feel like now I'm ready to love somebody, and I'm ready to sort of give up to the needing of them because I just love them. You know,
so I've had this conversation before with people, and I even wrote something about it on my blog recently. You were talking about the whole needing thing, and I once dated someone who told me my biggest fault was that I needed love. But really, don't you think everybody, taking it beyond what that need means,
right,
just even like from birth, I mean, there is an element
of
needing love.
Physiologically, energetically, emotionally, as human beings, we need love to function. I mean, I truly...
Like, I don't think John Lennon would ever be what he was without Yoko Ono or whoever else.
I mean, if you look at culturally across the globe, I mean, it's the thing that, you know, people write songs about and paint paintings about, and, you know, wars are fought over love. And, you know, I mean, so clearly it's like one of the absolute most powerful things that we can do. And I think where we get tangled up is the love-sex connection, you know? And I think making that distinction, you know, and there's no better teacher than trying to be in an open relationship with somebody is a huge teacher of really what that love-sex connection is for every individual.
So what do you think right now about open relationships?
I think that if both partners are equally respectful of each other, and they have a good, solid, back to that foundation, they could have a good love for themselves as well as respect and love for each other, I think they can work. In my experience, it didn't work. And I hold no judgment to it. But I think if you really want to look at the crux of the relationships that I know that have, every relationship I know that was founded as an open relationship, with the exception of one, has crumbled.
And why do you think that one hasn't?
Because they do it together.
So they're not going, well, you see, so to me, it's interesting because this at this panel again, and this was the first time I was in front of a large group of varied people with varied experts. So, you know, the topics weren't going to just be things I was very comfortable talking about, but polyamory was a huge topic. Mm-hmm. And while I have my own thoughts around monogamy as an agricultural, which is not my own, Sex at Dawn points this out, this fantastic book, monogamy is an agricultural aspect or came about as part of the agricultural revolution. Sure. I basically answered, while it's not for me, so I'm going to let somebody else who knows how to manage the boundaries better. Yeah. But I will say that everybody has a different relationship.
Absolutely.
But what it, I mean, you're just, I love talking to you about things because you're smart.
Thank you.
You realize it doesn't work for you. The one that has worked isn't really what I think of as poly, because I think of as poly, like, you leave your partner, you go do things with your other partner.
Right.
Your other partner has other
partners.
Yeah,
you know who I'm talking about, right?
I'm not sure if I do, but you'll tell. Oh, okay. Yes.
That's the one.
For those who didn't hear, it's Sorry. Just think of the examples in your own life. Do you know anybody who's in an open relationship and what works and what doesn't? Mm-hmm. But for me, and even in that example, and we'll just call her Hee-Haw, in Hee-Haw's example, I have actually had lunch with this person where there are still struggles.
Yeah.
That's in any relationship.
Any relationship, there's struggles.
But I do think for me.
And I mean works by that they're still together.
Yes.
You know, and still doing it. That's
yes.
What I mean. Yeah.
I do feel like I accept the people who can. And the woman at this, one of the women at this panel, she said something so beautiful. She said, if you love somebody and you want to see them happy, why would you tell them they can't do certain things, like if they find that they want to share their love? Now, I know why I wouldn't, because
I do too.
I could be really jealous and angry and go into a downward spiral and put myself in a bad place.
Yep.
Just human in my own ways.
No, I'm with you on that too.
But I also understand, I wish I had the idea that, I mean, she was like, if you make love to the world, then the earth, then, you know, life is just one giant orgasm.
Yeah.
Great. I love that too.
Beautiful.
But it's not my orgasm.
No.
You know,
ultimately, and it comes back to loving yourself, and masturbation will come to follow on that, but it comes back to, you know, being self-sacrificing in a relationship, which I think is what a lot of these open relationships, it's one person, what I've noticed, it's one person introduces the thought.
We'll just ignore the loud vibrator.
And the sink vibrator.
Oh, yeah.
The guys in the kitchen are going, what the hell are they doing?
It's interesting that you said that a lot of times when you see people in open relationships, that one partner is doing it for the other. Mm-hmm. And I have seen that a lot in certain communities where one partner is doing it because the other partner is really interested in trying it out. And it's not always open is not always a mutual thing. It's a, I'm doing this to save. And it's not always like this either.
No,
but
no. There's exceptions to every rule. And again, there's no judgment in my thing. I just, it's my experience. I feel like it's an attempted answer to a symptom of another problem in a relationship.
Yes. I'm laughing because I just realized that the microphone's backwards, but it still works.
That's awesome, but it's still working.
I don't know which way. It's strange. Like, it could go either way. I've recorded on both sides. I told you, very professional here at the Hot Sox podcast. Okay, so I did have another question on dating, but you segued so well into masturbation before the large vibrating object in your kitchen went off again.
Yes.
So let's talk
about self-love.
About self-love, yes. So let's talk. It is still Masturbation May, even if it's just, you know, not the beginning anymore.
Right.
How often do you masturbate?
I would say 3 times a week, maybe 4 times a week.
And what gets you thinking about masturbation?
It's like, more impulse than anything.
It's just impulse? Like, do you feel like, oh, I'm horny now?
Yeah, or? That's kind of it for me. That's really kind of it for me.
What do you think about when you masturbate?
What do I think about when I masturbate? I actually, by, it's interesting, by profession, I used to think about, you know, sex with other people, like specific people, specific sex acts that really turned me on. I would revisit those in my mind. Now, I really kind of try to just really empty my mind, honestly, and really focus my attention on what's happening in my body at that moment, and try to make it an incredibly interpersonal thing.
And how has that changed how it feels?
It's way more intense. Way, 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 way more intense because I'm not distracted. Like, I'm really giving up to the whole, the pure physical aspect of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting. It makes me think back to an actual relationship I had. And like, as you know, being my friend, even though as a sex educator, I'm very professional and I have a lot of good advice and I have a lot of good ideas around improving sexuality for all and expanding it. I also have struggled in my own life in relationships. Mm-hmm. And there was a time in a relationship where I just wasn't that into it anymore or attracted to the person. Mm-hmm. And actually thinking about sex acts with this person sometimes made me angry. But when I focused on what was actually being done to me instead of, like, if I was attracted to this person as much anymore, I actually had a really good time getting in touch with myself.
Yeah.
Because it's like, oh, that tingles like this. And for me, well, how do you masturbate?
I use toys. Well, it depends. I mean, I use toys a lot. I have a whole drawer in my nightstand that's called the Arsenal by some.
Oh, yeah? What does it consist of?
We can look at it if you want. But, and then I have stuff in, you know, different places in the closet for different occasions. But that's sort of my masturbation access point. So it depends on the day. It depends on if I just need to knock one out, like rub one out, so to speak, or if it's like I really want to take some time and, you know, I'll like go all out and pull out different toys and lube and like, you know, and really make a thing of it.
I think we should take a trip to the Arsenal.
A trip to the Arsenal.
Yeah, let's take a trip. Oh, can you pull it out and bring it over here?
Bring it over there.
Really? Because if not, you know, the studio, while very expensive and expansive, is mobile.
You have something in the Arsenal that you contributed once.
Oh, yay.
But, there's a couple things in here, but one I think I've just sort of been keeping for you. I don't know why. You left it at my house.
Oh, my God. Do you know what's so funny? So, I have been thinking,
I've never used it, but I've had it, and every time I see it, I'm like, I gotta ask Jamie if she wants this back.
Oh my God, I'd love it.
Because you were going on a trip, and you didn't want to travel with it.
And they had made this for me, and they gave me green. It's a Simply Blown glass dildo. That's the name of the company, Simply Blown, and they're out here in California. And it's, thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a green glass dildo, medium size, and I'm really
dusty.
I'm so excited. I actually thought about it for the first time the other day, and I thought, was it a dream? They had told me that they had one for me, and what did I ever do with it? And now I can actually review it. Yay!
You were here for a show, and you were staying at my house, And they've given it to you.
Was I living here yet? No.
No, you weren't living here yet, and it was at the other apartment.
That's a long time ago.
And you were going, you were going to like three different places, and you didn't want to take it in your suitcase in case it got broken or whatever.
That's so funny, because maybe I knew I was moving here.
No, I don't think you knew yet. It's been a couple years.
It's so pretty. It's beautiful. I'm going to take a picture of this, and I'll make it, you know, part of the podcast page so you can see it. But I'm going to do a review on it, too. Wait, so you have a lot of Enjoy products. I see the Pure Wand and the Saturn. You have the EDL by Natural Contours. Yep. Oh, a stainless steel butt plug.
That's a Enjoy as well.
Yes, that's Enjoy.
You gave that to me, I think.
You have a couple of silicone dildos.
Yep.
A couple of Natural Contours. Now,
anyway.
Oh, that's a very, what is that thing? This is this U-shaped double dong penis with two penis things that look small and large.
I have, this was purchased as a thought with a partner one time. I had this one guy that used to like to go toy shopping with me.
We're going to have to take a picture of your arsenal before you get it back.
And then so every once in a while we go and buy something, and this looked like a good idea at the time for him, for me.
Did you think it looked like, because it looks like a worm who happened to mutate into a penis.
It's more entertainment value than anything. Clearly it hasn't
been used much. Does it smell like jelly rubber?
Yeah, it totally does.
It still has that smell.
I think it's been used once, but we always...
Can I smell it?
Yeah.
Oh, wow, that smells like shower curtain, yeah.
Yeah, totally. Raft. New raft smell.
But you do have a lot of really nice dildos, and I think it's good because, you know, you spend a little more on a dildo, and then...
Tantus, my favorite dildo makers.
Yes.
This one is a... But,
And then
I
you
really,
have...
I recently cleaned it out.
Yeah, it's actually. Not... It's an arsenal, but it's funny. I have definitely more sex toys in my bathroom, I think, just because, you know, I keep my lubes, a lot of lube in there. Yeah. No, I'm not... I didn't mean to be like, I have more than you.
And I had another guy that brought over this clit suction thing, which...
Did you like the clit suction?
No, I think it's ridiculous.
Yeah, that kind of looks like vagina dentata. It's got teeth.
Yeah, it's sort of ineffective, but I also need to just get rid of stuff.
I think we need to, before you get rid of it, the stuff that you don't use, can we come back and do a puppet toy theater? Like,
A
video where we, like, do something
Make
with these guys?
And then I have a suitcase, like a little suitcase in my closet that has hardware. You know, like restraints and rope and...
But you won't use that as much by yourself.
No, that's not a solo activity toy.
You know,
my other thing that I think everybody should have to masturbate with is rubber gloves.
Oh, so do you wear them when you...
I do wear them. I always keep a box of rubber gloves. I think this is probably the last one. I think I'm out. But if you're alone, especially for women, I'm sure men as well, a rubber glove can actually add like a whole different sensation with lubricant, and it's like somebody else is there. I mean, it's if you're really
I always say it for playing
tactile.
With a couple, because like for when I put on the, if you're allergic to latex too, mm-hmm. the
non-latex.
But when you put them on, it's like I am the mad scientist.
Yeah,
now.
There's something. Well, I also have a little bit of a glove fetish. But I have a little bit of a glove fetish. But
did you like Michael Jackson a lot when you were a kid?
You would think that was too big and glittery. It just looked like it was gonna hurt going places. Like, no. But I do. There's something about the tactility of it. I guess if that's a word.
It is now.
I think
if it's
super
not.
Sexy.
I think so too. Yeah. And I actually think like if you were jerking off as a guy with a glove, when you're coming, you could actually come into the glove and roll it off and
like a condom. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it'd be an easy way to clean up. I was going to say the new thing for me with masturbation since it's Masturbation May is I'm still using my vibrators a lot when I'm alone. I go like 2-3 times a day most days when I'm here. Right. I forget about masturbating when I travel.
I don't really masturbate when I travel either. Isn't that weird?
It's not. Yeah, it's just not. But I squeeze and release my pelvic floor muscle when I masturbate.
Right.
And I've been putting my finger inside of me and just like feeling what it feels like, what the different, where I can touch differently.
Right.
And
yeah.
It's just been this really amazing body experiment and then staying inside when I have an orgasm to feel the contractions. Cause I do notice that, there are times when people ask, did you come? And so how can I now, I want to really be able to define, well, you'll know I came because you'll feel this.
Right.
And otherwise I'm still having a good time, but maybe. So I've been doing a lot of masturbation practice internally to get more of a feel around what's going on.
I have a hard time getting my fingers in there. I don't know if it's just the way I'm built, but it's just the reach isn't there. I don't really... I don't really feel it. I don't know if it's just my cervix is higher or what it is, but
I don't go very far in. I stay just like the first inch or two. Like I actually feel my G spot getting aroused. Like I know exactly.
And I feel a little bit there, but my contractions are deeper.
Like interesting. I feel like uterine, do you think?
I don't know, but they feel just a lot higher up. Like I can feel a little
bit. Do you still have a lot of contractions when you orgasm?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because I was doing some reading on uterine contractions and uterine orgasms recently after a lecture at ASECT, and it was saying...
I don't know. I never even thought about
it. I don't think most women have uterine orgasms, at least not often. But they say they're like one burst and they last up to 30 seconds.
Right.
Where like regular orgasms are like between... It's usually 6 to 8 times at 8 seconds apart, so 48 to whatever. But I never thought my orgasms lasted that long, so I've started to count a little more. I think they're like 25 seconds.
I never even thought to count. Mine aren't that long.
Count.
I'm curious. I don't feel like they're that long.
Everybody listening, count how long your orgasms last. Men and women, let us know. Email me, hottwax@gmail.com. So, Fifi, what's next for you? Let's go back for 1 second.
Yeah.
Everybody masturbate because it's May. There you go.
Masturbate a lot.
Anything else you want to say on masturbation?
Jerk off June. What?
Jerk off June, jack off July, and masturbate in May.
August.
Wait, then.
Sphincter September?
Spanktember? Spanktember?
Spanktember?
Spanktember. Oh, October.
Don't say November.
And then do it all December.
Do it all December. I like it.
Oh my God. Or diddle December.
Diddle December.
Diddle in That's December. And okay.
What were you going to ask me?
I was just going to say, so you going back full circle to the beginning where you said you're dating now.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think makes this different? Are you being really honest from the beginning about you want a relationship with him and with yourself, or?
I think it's more about being honest with me, because anybody that you meet, anybody that you date, you know, all you can, you, whatever you tell them to them is what you're being honest about. Because I think most people try to go into a relationship believing the person that they've met unless proven otherwise. For me, it's interesting because when I sort of made this decision to switch, I wanted a relationship and I wanted to start dating for a relationship. I met someone last fall, and I just think the universe hands you what you need. He was very consciously and said to me, you know, I really like you, but I don't want to have sex for a while. And I just don't, and it was very weird to me. Like I realized that I didn't know how to, understand that he was interested without sexual overtures. I didn't know how to express my interest without being overtly sexual with him. I mean, we made out a lot and there was like heavy petting and stuff, but it was very strange for me to not have sex with someone that I really, really was interested in. And, you know, we went out and things were hot and heavy for a few weeks. And then quite literally after a great date one night, I never heard from him again. Like just poof, disappeared.
This was after sex.
No, we had not. We'd never had sex. We had never had sex. We had gotten pretty intimate, you know.
Right. That's what you said.
Heavy petting. Yeah. But it wasn't. But we'd never had sex. There was no penetration.
Okay. So it never happened. Not even though he was taking off for a little while. And then one day it happened and then he stopped.
No. And we had, you know, a great date one night and came back to my place and, you know, making out, a little heavy petting on the couch. And he was like, no, I got to go. I'm going to, you know, it was like, okay. And texted me when I got home, talked to you later. Okay, great. And I never heard from him again. And
are you sure he's still alive?
We don't know. And I have friends that referred to him as the one that died because we don't know. But, I mean, it was incredibly hurtful and it was very... it was painful. It was very, very hurtful. And it really sort of threw me back to the dark ages with trust and really believing people and what they say about to you when they say, I really like you. And then to disappear, I don't understand. And who knows what happened, but...
that would be crazy if he died.
It would be crazy. I don't think he's dead. But I will tell you, the one good realization was I was like, wow, I'm really glad I hadn't slept with him. And I was like, wow, I'm really kind of glad I never slept with him.
So this was a big zeitgeist.
This was kind of a...
For, like a turning point
exactly.
for you.
Exactly. And then I decided to jump right back on the bandwagon because I think dating is a muscle, and this could be about our dating conversation too. I think dating is a muscle, and even if you're not super into it, you got to work out to stay in shape.
I'm trying. It just also hard. When you're staying in shape and you feel like you've been punched in the face, you just don't want to get back up.
You don't want to get back up. So I jumped back on the bandwagon and I met somebody else and started dating them. And my other thing was one person at a time, because when I was really sexually active, it was a lot of people. So, anyway, so I met this other guy, and again, I found myself in a relationship that was not sexual. And I mean, again, kissing and stuff, but he was very non-sexual, I think, because of things going on, medication he was on. And I also think too, it's like he and I really had a great connection on a friendship level. And we realized a few weeks into it that, you know, it just, he wasn't in a place to be dating yet. He was really getting his life together. And we had a very adult, very lovely sort of end to it. And now we've become friends. But he's, you know, he just wasn't, I just think it wasn't there between us. I think that's what that was.
But it's good because you're not hanging on.
But again, another me would have slept with him anyway, even though I wasn't that into him. But it was like, yeah, it's sex. It's like cold pizza. It's still pretty good, right? But I'm glad.
Sometimes.
But I'm glad I didn't, so.
But it's true. And I meant to say earlier, not are you being honest with him in the sense, but I think in being honest with yourself, you're being honest. Like, because there also you can be honest, like, I want a relationship. And I don't know. I'm in the space of dating where if I met somebody, I would say I'm looking for a relationship.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be okay with them saying I'm not sure what I want. I wouldn't be like, that's great. Then I'm going to stick around. And I think that's a very important thing with dating.
It's huge. And that's what I put out there too. It's like, I am looking for a relationship. I'm not looking for something casual. And the guy that I'm seeing now, I feel it's like Goldilocks and the Three Bears. Like, this one is just right, you know? And he's very honest and upfront that he's looking for the relationship in his life. Everything's fallen into place. It's the one thing missing for him. I'm coming at it with, I'm really looking for that partner, that person to be with and to be part of my life. And we have a healthy sexual relationship with each other, but it's great because
You're having sex.
We are, but it's not, our relationship is not driven by sex. You know, our relationship is very much about learning about each other and being with each other and spending time together and intimacy in those ways, which is really, really, really what I want. You know what I mean? And so it's really kind of nice. It's like this great balance. And it's the first time in a really long time that I feel like, you know, I'm headed in a really positive direction with someone in a very healthy way for me. And hopefully for him as well, but I think so. And he's very communicative and very open and really straightforward with me. And I try to be with him as well. And it's so far so good. Knock on wood.
Yeah. I'll knock on my head.
Yeah,
not
me
sure
too.
If that's, we could knock on one of the things in your arsenal.
Yeah.
I think it's important what you said too, that, really, when it comes to relationships, sex is a part of any relationship. But
Absolutely.
If that's all you have, like, you know, that whole idea of limerick, I do want to meet somebody that, like, I look at and be like, you, I want. Like, I want to join you in this journey.
Yeah.
And I don't know how realistic that is upon, like, immediate impact.
Right.
But that if all you have going for you is sex, and I've had that in relationships too, when that goes away, you sit there twiddling your thumbs like, what do we talk about now?
Yeah.
And how do we have fun together? And and how do we express ourselves outside the bedroom, which can be just as uncomfortable, if not more uncomfortable, than having
finding
sex.
Finding your way in sex. Absolutely. You know, and it's figuring out, like, that you enjoy spending time together at a restaurant or going to a movie or with friends, or, you know, that you're part of each other's lives, because you can't be fucking 24/7.
No.
And, you know, it's, you know, and I think sex is an important part of a relationship, but it's not the whole relationship. It almost has very little to do with it, you know, very little to do with it. And it's nice to actually feel drawn to somebody in a way, not just sexually, like, I'm so turned on by him, but I'm turned on by him just emotionally too, you know, just being with him and spending time with him. And, you know, and that's equally, if not more satisfying than than sex, you know.
Well, Fifi Jingles, I enjoy spending time with
me
you.
Me too.
Yeah, and so follow Fifi on Twitter.
Yep.
At my friend Janice. That's my friend J-A-N-I-C-E. Follow me on Twitter at Jamie. And if you're listening to this podcast and you liked it, just give it a rating on iTunes, a good one. If you didn't like it, just don't listen anymore. I'll be back again with another Hot Socks podcast. Until next time. Oh, October. Don't say no, no. I love that. Don't say no, November. I mean, these are far away, but you're just planning for now.
We're planners.
Thank you, guys. Bye.